Some good it is when the guy with the whistle is one of the last ones to sit down anyways. Proverbs chapter 6 this evening, the book of Proverbs chapter 6. It's an echo in the building. Proverbs chapter 6, we're going to look down at verse number 6. Just consider a couple of verses here as we begin. Proverbs chapter 6, we're going to read verses 6 through 8. We're going to have a talk later. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 6. We'll wait for Lewis to find it. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 6. Follow along if you would in your Bible as I read aloud. Solomon is writing in Proverbs 6, and he says in verse 6, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this evening. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to gather here together tonight. We're thankful, Lord, for our church family, for each and every one. Father, how we can be an encouragement and a blessing to one another. Father, truly it's needed in this life to have that fellowship. Lord, we appreciate what you have done for us on Calvary's cross and giving us forgiveness of sins. Father, we thank you for the church. We thank you for the unity we can have. And Father, the fellowship, the laughter. Father, we can weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. And I pray tonight, Father, as we consider this passage of Scripture, a few verses that seem stuck here in the book of Proverbs, but written by the wisest man who ever lived. So, Father, there is without a doubt, humanly speaking, some great wisdom to be found in these verses as we consider them tonight. God, we don't claim to be wise enough to be able to dig it all out of there, but, Father, we're thankful that you gave it to us, and we ask you tonight to give us guidance and leadership as we look at these verses. Help us to consider what you would have us to learn from these things. Father, to put them into practice in our life. Bless your word to each and every heart. Father, help us not just to have ears to hear, but Father, help us to be obedient to the things that you teach us through your word. Speak to each and every heart. Use your word in the way that only you can. For that which you do, we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, see if we can do this. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Keep your place there in Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to consider tonight what the Bible says about the ant. It says, go to the ant. So God wants us to learn something about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 14. Notice what the first half of that verse says. We're not going to concentrate on the verse in its entirety, but just the first half of the verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. It says, doth not even nature itself teach you? All right, the rest of the verse says, of course, that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. But what I want you to notice is the first half of the verse. Doth not even nature itself teach you? The answer, of course, is yes. There are some things to be learned by nature. The same God that created you and I created everything around us. The same God that created human life created animal life. And the Bible says that nature itself, whether it be animal life, whether it be the weather, the winds, whether it be the galaxies, all that is there, the Bible in different places specifically says that these things can teach us some things. Psalm 19 comes to mind where it tells us to consider the handiwork of God in the heavens. And so nature is there for our instruction. It has something to teach us. Solomon, in his wisdom, and remember, Solomon, according to God, is the wisest man that ever lived. So we know what we're talking, the pinnacle of wisdom. It was given to him by God. And this man who was the wisest man that ever lived, it's interesting to note that in most of his writing, in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he didn't write about a heaven's values. He didn't write about spiritual matters per se. But most of Solomon's writing was about this life right now. You can go all the way through Proverbs and you won't find anything about eternal life or what heaven's like or the things that even David mentions in Psalms. Everything in Proverbs is about living this life right now in this what we call nasty now and now. And in this life, he used the ant here in this picture as an example of how you and I ought to live life in this world right now. Now, I'd like to say that we're going to talk about heaven and heavenly principles and all that, but you know what we need as much as that? We need to know how to glorify God and honor God in this life right now. Yes, there's some things God wants us to do for eternal values, but there's some things God wants us to do just in this life to get by in a way that's honoring and pleasing to Him. You and I as believers ought to have a desire to honor and please God in this life. We know we're going to heaven when we die because we put our faith and trust in Christ. Sometimes we can sit back on our laurels and say, well, it really doesn't matter what I do now. I'm going to heaven because I've trusted Christ as my Savior. But God has some rules. God has some commandments. God has some outlines for how He wants us to live right now in a way that honors and pleases Him. And you and I, if our hearts are right with God, have a desire to do those things. And so Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 6, he says, go to the ant. What does the ant teach us? There's something in the Bible, as Solomon said, go to the ant. There's something that the ant, and observing what he does according to Scripture. Now you can turn on the Nature Channel or whatever those channels are on TV. And they'll give you some animals and they'll give you some things, and some of those things you can glean from that and do some good with it, but you'll do better learning what God says about these creatures and what the Nature Channel says, because they're going to get mixed up and confused and off the track somewhere down the line. They're going to tell you what that animal evolved from and how many billions of years it took it to develop its antennae or whatever it was that it's got, all these different things. Go to the Bible, and Solomon said, go to the ant. And we can learn. Let's look at the ant this evening. He says in Proverbs chapter 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. Turn, if you would, over to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And here in Proverbs chapter 30, we have one of the lessons we can learn from the ant. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 25, the Bible says this, the ants are a people not strong. Now, the natural scientists might disagree with that. They'll tell you that the ant can carry 50 times its body weight for 100 yards. You know what the answer to that is? Whoopee. What in the world is that going to do to an ant? I mean, you know how big an ant is, right? It can carry its body weight 100 yards. So what? What's he gonna lift? I mean, the ant is so small that anything 50 times its weight is not much bigger than it is. And so the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 25, the ants are a people not strong. In and of themselves individually, the ants can accomplish nothing. Though they might have some kind of strength if they're measured one against the other. I mean, is there anybody here worried about getting beat up by an ant? I mean, it can carry 50 times its weight, 100 yards. That's a pretty strong thing, you would say. But nobody here is worried. It's the smallest of all creatures. So regardless of the fact whether it can carry this, the Bible still says the ants are a people not strong. Individually, they can do nothing. When you see an ant carrying something, it's never an ant by itself. It's always a group of them moving something collectively to get it where they want to go, and they can do nothing in and of themselves. Solomon says, go to the ant. Go to the ant. Why? So that you and I can learn we can do nothing in and of ourselves. We are not strong. Now, this is not a you can accomplish anything sermon tonight. This is not a, you know, if you think it, you can claim it. Or if you claim it, you can have it. I don't even know how the system works. But this is telling you, and though we don't want to deny the personal relationship that you and I have individually with Jesus Christ, Solomon is emphasizing in this life the importance
of unity, the importance of strength in numbers, the importance of working together. He says in Proverbs 30, the answer of people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. John Donne is a guy that lived back in the 16th and 17th century, and he was the one that coined this phrase that you might have heard before, no man is an island. And John Donne was a Christian. And when he used that phrase, it has been quoted in plays and in literature and different things, he was simply trying to emphasize the fact, as he said it, that humans do not thrive when isolated from others. God has made us to coexist together. God has made us to labor together. Spurgeon had said, you know, some people say it takes one man to do the work of ten in the church. He said, I'd rather have 10 men do the work of 10 men in the church. Because being isolated serves no purpose. In fact, the Lord said it in such a degree in Matthew. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. It wasn't an individual. It was a collective group. Solomon said, go to the ant and learn the weakness of the ant. There is no creature like it, that though yet small in strength individually, collectively they can do whatever it is they need to do. Their strength is in their unity. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. That's where John Donne got that quote from. That's where he realized that no man is an island. Because you and I need one another. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You can't do that by yourself if you're just all alone on an island. We need the togetherness and the unity that the church provides for us. Many will go to this ant and say, well, that's a pattern for government. That the ant is a pattern for government. I dare say if you get your government from looking at an ant, you're going to be a smashed ant hill. Socialism is based on the government of the ant, where the worker ants provide for the upper echelon ants and they go out and do their work and everybody gets equal pay for equal work and all that. That's a great system if God was in control. But you know who's in control of that system? The queen ant. And you know what happens when they don't like the queen ant? They just kill her and get another queen ant. That's not a good governmental system to go by. But what Solomon is teaching us, though emphasizing the earthly life, what he's really teaching us is what can be accomplished in unity in the church. If we work together one with another and labor one together, the weakness of the church will not be such as we go together and conquer the world, as we go together to give the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we stand for issues such as abortion and against homosexuality and these kind of things. The strength is in our numbers and in our God. Go to the ant, Solomon said. When we go to him, we learn about his weakness. But knowing he's weak, he works together with others. I want you to notice the second thing about the ant. Go back to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. Now, don't you wish at your job you had no boss? The ants have no guide, overseer. There is no foreman. There's no boss. There's no CEO. I mean, the queen is the queen of the anthill. And if you study all those things, all she does is reproduce other worker ants and make more worker ants. And that's all she does. But all of the ants are on equal footing, on equal tread. They all go out and they do the job. And God is contrasting the work of this ant with the laziness of a human. Look at verse number 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. See, there's more lessons in the ant than what people want to give it credit for. You ever seen a lazy ant? You ever seen an ant that's just out doing nothing? When you see an ant out somewhere, he's heading somewhere doing something. He's in search of food. He's finding the track for the rest of the, so he can go back and tell the rest of the ants where the stuff is. And Solomon uses that ant as an example of work and an example of labor. He contrasts it with the lazy person. The ant is self-motivated. He works by himself without having to be told. He goes out and does his labor without having an overseer or a guide. Without force, verse 7, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. Have you ever found in this life, if you're one of those kind of people, and it seems like people by nature are either of the working sort or the non-working sort. Either self-motivated and after it, or not self-motivated and not after it. And there can be a dividing line and degrees on either side of the line, but that's basically what it is. And Solomon is telling the sluggard to look at the ant and realize that that animal itself teaches you, you need to be on the motivated side, self-driven side, in this life of that factor. And if you're on that side, you know what you know? There's always more things to do than you can get done in a day. Have you ever found that problem? I make a list on a piece of paper when I've got things that I have to accomplish in a day the night before. I make a list of those things. And by the next night when I'm getting ready to go back over those things that I've gone over during the day and said, I've got to do this, you prioritize them, make sure you get done what has to get done. You work down them. It seems like you scratch them off, but there's always one or two or maybe more left at the end of the day you didn't have time to do. And they get put over onto the next day's list, and it just goes through life that way. You know what that means? That means you've learned from the ant. Because that's the way that labor ought to be. You know, there's some people that can get everything done in a day that they need to do. And someone said it this way, only lazy people find time for everything. And that's the truth. Only lazy people find time for everything. If you're going to follow the example of the ant, there's going to be work that fills your schedule. And Solomon is looking at that. And of course, you read Solomon in Ecclesiastes, and a time for this, and a time for that, and a time for this, and a time for that. Solomon knew that the labor of this life was a full-time occupation. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ will keep you busy full time if you want to do it. Doing the right things will keep you busy full time if you're about doing them. Too many times we want to withdraw and have our own personal time. And usually the personal time is taken away from church, not from work. Now, I'm going to jump into the deep end right now. Here's what will happen. We'll get sick and call off from church, but still be able to go to work. Now, you know why that happens? Because one thing's more important to us than the other. Now, I'm not pointing fingers out there that aren't coming back here. But we do prioritize what we feel is important to us. And in the area of this collective thing, the weakness of the ant, in the area of this collectiveness, we will try to make it on our own without the collective body, thinking there's something spiritual and supernatural about us that we don't need what God says we need. The ant does the work without force. No one has to tell them, here's what you have to do. Here's what you're supposed to do. It's sad. It's sad. And I said this from the very formation of our church. God did not call me to be a spiritual babysitter. And I'm not, every time someone misses church, I'm not going to go knock on their door and beg and plead with them to come. You know what you're supposed to do. You know where you're supposed to be. God speaks to you just as well as He speaks to me. And so if you know those things, it's up to you to get the thing right. I know a lot of pastors that burn themselves out from being spiritual babysitters. And I've determined God's calling to me is to do the work of the Lord, to study and preach the Word of God, to get the gospel out, but not to be chasing people all over and helping them suck their thumbs and whine about this and complain about that. We've got a job to do, a labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just get about it and do it. And they did it without force, verse 7. They did it without fail, verse 8. They provide their meat in the summer and gather their food in the harvest. They prepare. They look ahead. They know the reward of their labors. There is a work for them to do, and they do it without fail. They do it because it needs to be done. You're in a good position when you are looking for things that you can do. You can leave something undone and watch and see who walks by it and does it and who walks by and pays no regard. Then you'll know if you've got a worker or a non-worker. You can use that in the business world. You can leave things out there. You can watch guys pull into the parking lot in the morning and see which ones will walk by the piece of trash that's sitting out there in the parking lot and which one will take the time to stoop over and pick it up, knowing that it just makes things look a little better. There are little things that you can pick up on.
Henry Ford, I told you this before, and this still amazes me.
Henry Ford used to hire people on the basis of what they did when they ate their meal.
If they sat down, he would take them out to lunch, a candidate to be a CEO in Ford Motor Company, which back then meant something. Back now it just means you're unemployed, but back then it meant something. But back then when he would hire, before he'd hire them, he would take them to lunch, and if they would salt or put pepper on their food before they even tasted it, he wouldn't hire them. That's an unusual thing. Well, that's his particular mindset. He thought, you're making judgments before you even find out whether or not you need that or not. I know what my problem would be. I'd never get hired by Henry Ford. I see corn or something like that on my plate, the salt's coming before I even taste it. And then my wife will say, I already salted that, and I'm going, ugh. I've already put sugar in that. It says, go to the ant. Notice the labor, the work, the emphasis that's put in, the unity, the togetherness. And they labor without having to be told. Aren't you pleased when your kids do something? You wouldn't know, would you? Wouldn't you be pleased if your kid did something without being told? I think that I've never experienced that, but I think that would be a wonderful feeling. You know that I go down the stairs and open the room, and the room's spotless and clean. Don't have to say pick up this. Don't have to say do that. Open Josh. No, never mind. The work of the ants. Where's Josh at?
He's back in the corner.
I can't even see him. That's why. Okay. The labor of the ant, the work. Solomon said, go to the ant, consider her ways. Though they're weak, though they're not strong, their labor produces something because they work hard together and they get things accomplished. Notice, if you would, here again in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 6, the Bible says this, go to the ant, thou slugger, consider her ways and be wise. See, the ant is an example of wisdom. It's an example in nature that God said, you and I as human beings with our extreme intellect can go to the smallest of creatures that God has created and learn something from them. It says, go to the ant and be wise. Watching them and watching how they labor and watching how they overcome their weakness is an example to you and I of what we need to learn. They prepare for the future. They get ready for the time ahead. It says in both passages, in Proverbs 6 and over in Proverbs chapter 30, it says in both of these places that they provide their meat in the summer and gather food in the harvest. They're preparing for the future. They know what's around the corner. They're talking about human life. We're not talking about heaven and the expectancy of that. We're talking about this life. Solomon's giving us principles to live by right now, that we work and that we labor and that we put aside preparing for the future. You know, there used to be a time where everybody said, well, the Lord's coming back. Amen. And I believe He is. And as I prayed this morning, I hope He comes back in 2009. Amen. I hope this will be the year that the Lord comes back. Amen. In 1980, I got ordained into the gospel ministry. That's going on 29 years ago now, coming this May. When I got ordained to the gospel ministry, I was eligible to file for exemption from Social Security. And I'm glad I did. I filed for that exemption as a minister, and so as a minister, I didn't have to pay Social Security on my wages from the church. Now, when I worked a secular job, I had to pay those things. There was nothing. The reason I did it is because I thought, the Lord's coming back. I'm not going to be here 30 years from now. I'm not going to need Social Security, so why in the world pay into it? You see how that's worked out so far? We're almost 30 years later. The Lord hasn't come back. You know what we need to do? You know what the ant teaches us? Prepare for the future down here in this life. Now, I've had to go back in my life and correct some things. I can't go back and switch that over, but I can make my own accommodations. In fact, my accountant, my bookkeeper said, I'm not going to do your account unless you start putting some money away somewhere and preparing for the future, because he had some wisdom about that thing. But that's what the Bible is saying, preparing for the future in this life. And many of those years ago that said, well, the Lord's going to come back, now they're 60, 65, 70, 75 years old. You know what they're doing? They're preaching in their pulpits. They're never going to retire, because when they do, they got no way to exist. Because they exempted themselves from the benefits for the future. And of course, those benefits might not be all that much anyways anymore. But you know what Solomon said? Go to the ant and learn its wisdom. Prepare for the future. Young people, prepare for the future. Plan on being here for a while. Now, if the Lord comes back in the midst of that preparation, praise the Lord. Thank God for it. But be prepared, because there are many from decades ago that did not make that preparation, that did not learn from the ant, and then one of these days those things might come back to haunt them. So we learn from the wisdom of the ant. They prepare. Look at Proverbs chapter 30. And I've heard that conversation with more preachers than I could shake on a stick. Of those that we all said, well, the Lord's coming back, won't need that thing, and then all of a sudden, 60 years later, the Lord hadn't showed up yet. Because He knows when He's coming back and we don't. And I believe this. I believe with all my heart there's nothing in the Bible that hasn't been fulfilled that prevents Him from coming back right now. I believe He can come back right now. But I also believe He can wait 30 years if He wants to. You say, oh, I couldn't get any worse than this. Now, you've got to do some more reading and examining to find out and get a lot of worse than just the future president coming into office on the 20th. Things could get a lot worse than that, and they may get a lot worse than that. And even then, it's going to take us a few years to really get as bad as it could be. It's not going to be sudden. And the Lord could, it's not tarrying. I said that the other day, and my daughter rebuked me. It's not tarrying. The Lord knows when He's coming. But He might just not have it be as soon as we hope and think it is. It might not be in 2009. Boy, isn't that terrible for a preacher to think? Say, but you know why I say that? Because in an hour when you think not. I've had this battle with the Lord before. I've just prayed and said, Lord, I don't think You're coming. He said, did you believe that? No. And that's a problem. He always knows whether I really believe it or not. You can't fool Him. You can't trick Him. I wanted to say, Lord, I don't think You're coming. So He'd say, okay, You don't think I'm coming, so I'm going to come. But He knows I do believe He's coming, but I'm just saying it, so it's not going to work. You can't outsmart Him. But I do know this. It could be a long time off. We need to be prepared if the Lord doesn't come back for a while. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 25. We read this already. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Notice verse 24. It said about the ants, they are exceeding wise. These animals God has created sometimes are wiser than the humans that He gave a brain to. You know why? They do a lot of things by instinct, where we think them out first. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be a good thing just to be a Christian by instinct. Just to do what's expected and do what's right, because it's just ingrained in us. But too many times the old flesh comes up and says, no, I don't feel like doing that. No, I don't want to do that. No, that's not the top of my priority list or pleasure list tonight or tomorrow, whatever it is. But these animals that God has created have the wisdom to follow their instincts when it comes to doing the labor that they need to do and the work they need to perform. The wisdom of the ant. They prepare in the summer. That makes sense to me. Why do it in the winter? You know, you don't see ants out in the wintertime. You see them out in the summertime when the weather's warm, and they're putting it away. And, you know, if Disney wants to put a movie about an animal that stores up for the winter, it's always chipmunks or squirrels or something like that. The ant is wise. And the ant stores up for the wintertime. It's preparing itself for the future. It's working together in unity with others. And Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and be wise. Nature has some things that can teach us if we'll follow the example that's given in the Word of God. Are you like the ant? Are you a worker? You recognize your weakness and dependent upon the unity of God's people? Do you seek the wisdom that comes from simply obeying God by instinct and not arguing or debating, but simply doing what God has equipped us to do in our service for Jesus Christ? The Bible said in the book of Revelation that for His pleasure we are and were created. God wants us, is this humbling or not? God wants us to go to the ant and figure out how to live. He doesn't want you to order that book on the TV with the guy with the question marks all over his shirt that can tell you how to get all this money to start your own business. He doesn't want you to get a PhD or something like that. You know what He says? Go to the ant. See how God always does things backwards? The first shall be last and the last shall be first. Those that exalt themselves shall be humbled. Those that humble themselves shall be exalted. He says, you want wisdom? Go to the ant. Be a worker. Be wise. Recognize your weakness. Labor together. And please God. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Father, tonight, Father, these things help us to give a proper view of ourselves. The Bible tells us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but Father, it's our tendency to think we've really accomplished things sometimes. Father, you tell all of the human race to go to the ant and consider her ways and be wise. What a humbling statement for us. For mankind and its pride is in its intelligence. Looking at the simplest of your creation and learning. Father, I pray we would put these principles to work in our life, in this life. That Father, we would labor together to honor and to please you, to be motivated to do the things that we ought to do. To not have to be kick-started. But Lord, simply to do the things because you've told us that we need to do these things. You've said 6 days shalt thou labor. Father, I pray you'd help us to have a mind to work. Give us the wisdom of the ant. Father, speak to each and every heart. I pray something said tonight was taken by your Spirit in each and every heart and life and given us something we need from your precious word. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 306. Page 306 in the song book. As always, the altar is open. Maybe God has touched your heart in some area of your life that you need to get motivated in or get to work on. Maybe just challenge you as we sing 306, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. The altar is always open. You come if you want to tonight.
Have Thine Own Way.
If you would, we're going to try to move things around. Lewis, if you come up and help Eric and Kevin with the mic, you need to just slide that over to the side. There. Just back here and then slide that screen out to the front.
really like the roll.
Yeah.
And this is one of our missionaries we've supported for many years.